I've called the message this morning, Considering Heaven. Consider Heaven. Let me read from Revelation chapter 21. If you have Bibles, please open them. If you haven't, please open the ones in front of your chair. Revelation chapter 21, obviously it's the last book in the Bible, verses 1 to 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I'm going to read verse 4 again. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Heavenly Father, would you open our hearts and minds to the truth of what you've prepared for those who love you, Lord. And I thank you that you first loved us, and that you gave yourself as an atonement for our sins, to bring us peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. How long do you spend thinking about heaven? I bet you don't think about it much. Well, you do. Sometimes an hour. Well, you get a gold star, Stephen. Well done. How long do you think about heaven? I don't just mean if you're feeling poorly or if you're at a funeral or, you know, mortality is forcing you to think about the future, but it seems to be absolutely crazy. I mean, I think of last night in the lottery, you know, National Lottery, you would have had millions in the UK sitting with bated breath with their tickets to see if their number had come up. And I'm sure there are many reasons that people would love to win, as we would all, I'm sure, love to win such a large sum of money. But the first thought you would imagine is no more worry, no more striving with labour, you could give up your job. More sunshine, well that's not a bad thing, is it? More holidays, visiting parts of the world that you'd never seen before, helping others, maybe even taking other people on that journey with you. I know Solana and I have talked about it before, if ever we came into a sum of money, we'd like to buy a holiday home somewhere, maybe not too far on a plane, but somewhere that was open 52 weeks a year, just for friends. No charges, no fees. Always make sure the freezer was always full. A maid to help you enjoy your rest. That would be our wish, because we'd want to be able to offer someone rest. And in the world that we live in, often we can get so tired that rest is a very welcome thing. So when I ask you that question, how long or how often do you think about heaven? I'm really suggesting that you should think about it an awful lot. An awful lot. Not that it's awful, far from it, because it's so wonderful. The truth is, friends, you've won more than the lottery. It's not a lottery. God's love was never a lottery. What he has prepared for those who love him is so amazingly wonderful that it really is the best is yet to come. J.I. Packer, great Christian Bible teacher, said this: the lack of long, strong thinking about our promised hope of glory is a major cause for a plodding, lackluster lifestyle. Really important and true words, I believe. the lack of our long and strong thinking about our promised hope of glory is a cause or a major cause of a plodding, lackluster lifestyle. When I worked for a mortgage broker in Brentwood, there was a guy who used to pop in occasionally, and he was the scruffiest guy on the planet. I mean, he really, you know, you thought he was a homeless guy, but he was actually a multi-millionaire. He never showed it by his outward appearance that he had such an inheritance. And I think sometimes that's true for us. We don't look like someone from the royal family. I don't know how many of you saw the wedding yesterday. I was out with the football. Apparently it was a good sermon being preached, but I don't know. I'll pick it up. But you know, outwardly our bodies are wasting away. But inwardly the Bible says we're being renewed. Now the hope of heaven, as we mature as Christians, should be an ever-present and constant reminder that the best is not just yet to come, but you can even taste it now. You can even taste it now. I had a dream about heaven last night. It was full of all kind of mixed things. I don't think it was necessarily one that the Lord had sent me, because it had some weird stuff in as well. But obviously, because I was preparing on this theme and thinking about heaven, what was really interesting in this dream is that when I said, Father, he answered me straight away. And we had this conversation. And it was just amazing. And it made me think of in the garden in Genesis. And it says that man walked with God. No more silent prayers in heaven. No more wondering if something is God's will. You'll have this immediate and amazing communion, not just with God, but with each other. I mean, Mark could be in the kitchen. I wouldn't even need to shout. I'd just send him a mental text or something, you know. But I honestly believe as Christians that we struggle sometimes because we don't consider what Jesus died for. He didn't just die to bring you peace with God, but he died to give you the most incredible inheritance, the most amazing inheritance, not just to be with him, but to behold his glory and to share it. I don't deserve that, and neither do you. And why we don't think about that more as Christians is a real shame. Just to cheer you up, did you know that over 50 million people die each year? Over 50 million people die each year, throughout the world, that is, not just in Blackpool, obviously. The question of death is one that we all need to face. But it's just amazing that on your day-to-day lifestyle, you rarely ever think about where you're going. I knew last year when we went on that trip to New York and we came back on a cruise, we went because it was a third of the price that it should be. But I know the moment we booked it, we were thinking about that trip. We were thinking about the boys' faces. We were thinking about the experience they'd have on the plane, getting a yellow New York cab and having New York pizza, which is an absolute must. Even if you're a diabetic, I think I could stretch that one. But, you know, we couldn't stop thinking about the experience. And also, coming back on the cruise ship, what would it be like? What would our boys enjoy? You know, and it was something that really put a smile on your face. And I think you know where I'm going with this, don't you? I don't need to teach you to suck eggs. What you've got coming is not just a one-time trip. The dwelling place of God will be with man. That's his promise. That's why Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Many mansions. He said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. He said, but listen, I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you. Jesus, the man who in nature was God, has gone ahead and is preparing a kingdom that is really way beyond the Wizard of Oz, way beyond anything you could imagine, way beyond your picture of streets of gold and, you know, walls of precious stones, and way beyond that. And when Paul was caught up to the third heaven and he saw a vision, he said he couldn't even put it into words how spectacular it was. And this is your inheritance because Christ earned it for you. It was the Puritans who said this: it is the heavenly Christian that is the lively Christian. That makes a lot of sense to me. It's the Christian who realizes and knows where they're going that puts a smile on your face. Because regardless of whatever day you had, you know tomorrow can be a better day. And every day we pray with our boys at night. And we always, don't we boys, we always give thanks for the day. And we're always very specific about all the things that we're thankful and grateful for. Because the truth is, we're not promised tomorrow. But we are, in a way. If you think Earth is beautiful, I tell you, the best is yet to come. Ecclesiastes 3:11. This is a beautiful verse. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. This is what that longing, this lady described in her testimony. That God has already from the beginning, because of our broken relationship, there's a hole there that only he can fill. If you think of it as a well, if you don't dig that well and make sure that it can receive enough water, if you don't look after that well and make sure that the water is clean, then it's going to get grubby and mucky and murky. And if you don't dig the well in terms of in your Christian experience, you're not going to hold a lot of water at all. You're going to be a shallow Christian. You're going to be a miserable Christian. You're going to be a dehydrated Christian. That's not what God wants for us. In the Shakespearean play Hamlet, death and what lies beyond death's door is often described as what? Can you remember? It was described as the undiscovered country. The undiscovered country. And I guess if you pay no attention to the Bible, it is very much undiscovered. But in the scripture and in your devotional life, it can be discovered in part. You can learn more about what Jesus taught. In the book of Hebrews 11, 13 to 16, listen to these words. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Last night, I watched a film about the Khmer Rouge and Cambodia and all the terrible thing that happened there. And how this lovely group of people were uprooted in their own country and sent to camps. Many of them starved to death, I think. The Khmer Rouge, I think, killed, I think, over a third of their own population just through starvation. So much for a revolution. But the story was told through the eyes of this little girl. And throughout the story, you could see the pictures of this little girl remembering her former life with her family and remembering a feast on a table and remembering having happy times. She was looking back to what she had lost. But you, friends, and I need to look forward to what we shall receive. Because if that doesn't put a smile on your face, you need a good talking to. You need a proper pastoral visit. Because we need to take on board just what Jesus has achieved for us. It's not just forgiveness. I mean, that's amazing. It's beautiful that God has forgiven us in Christ. Isn't it? Isn't it lovely that God has chosen because of his love to forgive us? But how much more, not just forgiveness, but the invitation. Someone once said these words, Christians are not citizens of earth trying to get to heaven. Christians are citizens of heaven making their way through the earth. What a fascinating perspective. The Bible makes it clear that in a way, we kind of don't belong here anymore. I mean, we do because we're still in this earth tent. But what is to come is absolutely spectacular, marvelous. We are all pilgrims passing through this world. If we suffer, it's only for a short while, because the best is yet to come. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1, 22 and 23, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what should I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. There's a man who the idea of heaven and what he saw was so enticing that as much as he wanted to labour for the Lord, because he loved the Lord, there was a bigger part of him that knew what was coming. Far better than a world cruise, far better than winning the lottery, far better. There's a place where there's no tears, no more ailments, no more falling over, Tom. You know? What an amazing thing to look forward to. Psalm 39:4 says, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. Not from a miserable place, but from a place of appreciation. I've said to Solana before, I mean, God willing, I'll live many years and see my children grow up and maybe get married or have children or whatever. But, you know, I've lived a full life already. I've lived a full life and the best is yet to come. Our life won't end. It will begin somewhere else in the most spectacular way. My nanny Kitty, I think I've told you before, she was a spiritualist medium. And when she finally repented after many, many years of being a medium, there was a change in her. There was a gentleness that came over her. And I went to Southampton to see her a few days before she died. And she was laying in the hospital bed. And she was like this, smiling away, completely at peace. I was like, I can't believe that. I mean, she's not going to be with us very long. But she just had a peace and a calm. And my dad and my uncle were quite amazed just how ready she was to be with Christ. What a beautiful picture. No more suffering or sadness. She knew the best was yet to come. I heard a funny story of a Sunday school teacher who asked the class how many of the children wanted to go to heaven. And all the hands shot up apart from one. Why don't you want to go? Said the teacher. And the little girl replied, because my mum said I had to come straight home after church. I think because we don't know how many days we've got and how many hours we've got on this earth, we tend to sort of maybe put it off, you know. Oh, well, I'm really pleased about heaven, but I'm just getting the dinner on. And, you know, and you forget to meditate. And yet the Bible says, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, meditate on these things. What a lovely thing. Wow. And the amazing thing is, what I read at the beginning about Revelation, there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. When we die, we go to heaven. But the Bible says that God's making a new earth. And this great big kingdom, this spectacular place that Jesus has been preparing, will descend. The new Jerusalem will descend upon a new earth. Wow. So in a way, we've got a return ticket. Pretty amazing. Now, because you know, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're going to heaven, if you've got any cruise breaks that you feel that you don't need to take now, then obviously we'll go in your stead. Solana and I will suffer it for you. You know, we should be asking the way to heaven as a human being. What's the way to peace with God? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. There was a minister who joined his new church, and one of the first people he met at the church said to him, I hope you're not one of these narrow-minded pastors who thinks it's just members of his own congregation that get to heaven. Oh, I'm even more narrow-minded than that, said the vicar. I'm pretty sure that some of the members of my congregation aren't going to make it. Going to church does not make one a Christian. Putting your faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from what you know to be wrong, and hungering after him. They're all the good signs that you're on a journey somewhere else. Jesus said he came to give life in all abundance. He doesn't want us to be miserable. He really doesn't. Excuse me. If you remember when Jesus was crucified, there were two thieves, weren't there? And you know the story. And if you don't, I will briefly remind you that one of the thieves showed a very repentant heart. And he said to the Lord, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? What a beautiful, humble thing to say. A man who's dying, first of all, recognizes Jesus' kingship. You're coming into another kingdom. And do you know how Jesus describes that kingdom? He doesn't just call it a kingdom. It's far more personal. It's far more enticing. It's far more beautiful. He says, I tell you the truth, today you shall be with me in paradise. How about that? How about living in a place called paradise? Solana grew up in Miami, didn't you, from the age 2 to 11. And then she lived in Barbados till she was 16. And the poor lass, when she came to London, I sort of reeled her in. And she never went back to Barbados. I'm really sorry about that. You never went back to paradise, but you'll be going one day, the real paradise. In fact, you'll be going this summer, actually, just for a short break. But I've been to Barbados several times, and I tell you, when you see the blue oceans and you feel the warm breeze and you drink that coconut milk, coconut water, okay, and you just enjoy the smell of the fish market and the everything about the place, it's just so beautiful. And you can't help but be thankful to God for creating such a beautiful place. But the best is yet to come. And it's for you and for me. Now give me your best smile. I just think that we don't make good preparations. I think we end up packing our bags last minute, so to speak. We're ill-prepared. And that's not right. It's not healthy for us as Christians. It's not morbid at all to prepare for heaven. It's not morbid at all. It's true, apparently, the average 70-year-old man has spent a total of 24 years sleeping. You know that? But David's saying he's done more than that, have you? The average 70-year-old has spent 14 years working. 14 years. 8 years in leisure. 6 years at the dinner table. 5 years travelling. 4 years just chatting, although women, I'm sure it's a bit more than that, actually. A person who spends an hour at church and 5 minutes a day praying gives the Lord only about 5 months of a 70-year lifespan. Isn't it interesting, all these kind of statistics? 1 Corinthians 2:9, this is what Paul wrote. He said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. It is not a dreary place. It is not some Mickey Mouse angel sitting on a cloud doing a harp and everybody looks bored. I tell you, I can't even put into words how spectacular it must be. Dwight Moody was a great preacher and he said this, someday you'll read in the papers that Dwight Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment I shall be more alive than I am now. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1855. That which is born of flesh may die. That which is born of the Spirit shall live forever. What a fantastic thing to say. There's a man who's heavenly minded. Don't mourn for me because I'm with the Lord. Wow. When we've had more time in the past, Solana's an amazing cook. She's really brilliant. And what I love about Solana's cooking is obviously the food, but all the different herbs and spices and the time that she, if she's got the time, to prepare. And whenever we think that we might have time to invite someone over for a meal, I'm like, yippee! Because I know that what's about to land on the table is just amazing. I mean, you're talking all sorts of macaroni cheese and spicy chicken and, you know, the food is really spectacular. Curried goat. Have you ever had curried goat? It's amazing. It's beautiful. But, you know, we get excited because if we have time, it's nice for us to be able to invite someone over for dinner. How much more is the Lord excited when he sees the suffering of so many and the journey that so many have had, and he welcomes them into the kingdom of heaven? How amazing. The Lord must be full of joy when he welcomes you and I. Come and share what I've prepared. Come and see what I've built. Come and see from the foundation of the world what I've put in place for you. Mark, you like gardening? Well, let me show you this. John, you've had enough of gardening. I've got something else for you to do. But do you hear my heart this morning? As a Christian, heaven is something to be absolutely embraced and to be meditated upon. Revelation 7:16. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne of God will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Finally, finished a bit early today. Oh, yeah. Someone called Theodore Brennan once wrote a poem called Those Wasted Years. It's quite a famous poem. Do any of you know it? He wrote, I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barn had fallen to the ground. The fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew, where we had lived for years, I turned to see it broken down and brushed aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day to find it too had grown with thorns and nettles everywhere, the seeds that neglect had sown. The years had passed while I had cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go when minding things of earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, O Lord, forgive. I haven't much time left for thee, not many years to live. The wasted years forever gone, the days I can't recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make him Lord of all. What an absolutely you are not retired. You're still here. You still have opportunity to witness to a neighbour and a friend. Invite someone to church. Bring someone to church. Bring them on the bus. Bring them in a car. Let's redeem the time and seize the day. I will scroll forward because there's one little thing I want to read to you. Apart from the description of heaven, streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, we're told the walls are 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles high. If you think of the Sears Tower in Chicago, it would take over 50 of them to reach the height of the wall. The picture of heaven is so absolutely incredible. One thing that I haven't put in my notes that I remember teaching on many years ago is, you know all the precious stones mentioned in the book of Revelation? Through a prism of pure light, when you cut those stones, every stone that is mentioned in the book of Revelation in the Bible all reflects every colour of the rainbow. But there are certain precious stones that don't reflect, like diamonds and other stones, that just go black. But in pure light, every stone that John mentions in the book of Revelation reflects all the colours of the rainbow, reflects God's complete palette. There's no way John could have known that. What a beautiful picture that God has chosen even precious stones to light up heaven. Wow. And this is my finally. In C.S. Lewis's wonderful books, The Chronicles of Narnia, the characters who lived in Narnia had completed their time and work there. And in a closing chapter entitled Further Up and Further In, Aslan the lion, who represents Christ, has come for them in order to take them home. They are headed away from Narnia and are about to enter Aslan's land. But they are met with familiar scenes, and one of the characters cries out, "I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now." The reason why we love the old Narnia is that it sometimes looked a little like this. I believe that when we enter the real heaven, we will say, "This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now." The reason why we love the old earth so much is that it sometimes looked a little like this. If I gave you a photo album with pictures of heaven, real photographs of people in joy and rest, would you look after it? Would you treasure it? Would you never let it part from you? Would you constantly be looking at it? Would it motivate you? Would it inspire you? Then read your Bible. Be inspired and be encouraged. Amen.